From Baldoyle to Beaumont.
Community radio for Northeast Dublin. 90.3.
Near FM. Good morning and welcome to Northside Today. Up first on the line, I have none other than the one and only Mr. David Moore from Astronomy Ireland. Good morning, David. How are you?
Very well. Thank you very much.
David, tell us, NASA have the Artemis 2 crew named and go around the moon again.
Yes, that's right. Very exciting time. The first time we'll have people at the moon in over 50 years. The last time being the Apollo 17 mission in December 1972. So it's been a long time coming, and NASA has now announced the actual people who are going to train for this mission, which will be launched at the end of next year. So it's a big deal, not only manned spaceflight, but you know, it's such a long way to go. We're used to seeing the International Space Station blazing across Irish skies, but it's only a few hundred kilometres up. This mission is going 1,000 times further away.
Yeah, it is absolutely amazing, isn't it, when you think of distances in space.
Oh, absolutely, yeah. You don't use the word astronomical lightly. Things in space are just mind-boggling. The power of the rockets that are needed to get us there. It's a big deal for the human race going to the moon, but that is a tiny step compared to the size of the universe. This is all part of NASA's plan to get to Mars. The moon is being used as a stepping stone. And Mars, again, is a huge jump compared to the moon. The moon's only about under a quarter of a million miles away from us, on average. And to get Mars at its closest is over 100 times further away than that. And you actually take a circuitous route to get there, which makes it even further to go. So away going from the International Space Station to the moon is a factor of 1,000 further, and then going from the moon to Mars is roughly another factor of 1,000. And this Artemis mission, next year Artemis 2 as it's called, will be a 10-day affair. But when you're going to Mars, you're looking at spending months in space to get there, months in space to come back, and probably staying on Mars surface for of the order of years rather than months. So that's going to be another huge step forward, not to be taken lightly.
One thing I find a little bit sad on this is that we're talking about the first woman and the first person of colour on the moon. I think that's sad that in this day and age that it hasn't happened already, that you know that we're still thinking in these terms of women or people of colour. That isn't just normal. I find that a little sad.
No. Yeah, I mean, if you mean that as to why the 12 people who walked on the surface of the moon were all white males, that was back in the 60s when all this was planned, and it was a different time back then. And to give NASA credit, it was very important to them that they diversify this particular mission, and in particular they want the first woman on the moon. And that's deliberately being used to inspire, you know, all female scientists and engineers want to become astronauts to get there, not just to balance the books in terms of diversity, but to actually inspire half of the population to go to space as well. So the future of space is definitely one of equal opportunities. Maybe it took 50 years for people to realise that, but at least they're on the right track now.
Indeed, and that's what I find sad, that it has taken 50 years for that to happen. You know, I my feeling on this, we should be seeing these things as just normal, just accepted. It should happen. It's unfortunate that we have to actually start to, to make a big deal of it, and just because it is the first time. And it shouldn't be the first time, and it should have happened ages ago. And that's just my rant. I'm sorry about that. It's off topic. It's just things that frustrate me.
To balance the books, of course, it has been 50 years since anyone has been to the moon. White, person of colour, male, female, whatever. And if you look at the astronauts that have been in space, well, there's been plenty of diversity since those 50 years, going up, for instance, to the International Space Station. Christina Koch, who's the female astronaut on Artemis 2, she holds the record for the longest female stay in space at nearly a year, 328 days. So she's a serious astronaut in her own right. And there have been lots of other female person of colour astronauts over the years. So it's just really the way society has evolved and it's happened in space exploration as much as it has in every other walk of human life. So I don't think, not knowing the exact statistics, that the astronaut era has been any different to any other field of human endeavour in that regard. But, you know, we all know Neil Armstrong is the first man on the moon. Now the big trivial question in the future will be, who was the first woman on the moon? And we don't know the answer to that question yet, because this mission, Artemis 2, is not going to land, but NASA have said it is going to be a woman. So that book, if you like, is going to be balanced as well.
Indeed. And tell me this, the Chinese have been there, but they have just put automated ships or whatever you call them on the moon. They haven't actually landed themselves, is that right?
That's right, yeah, and that's what happened with the initial exploration by the Americans. Of course, the reason people got to the moon, we sort of got there before the technology was really ready. It was a race during the Cold War between the USA and the Soviet Union, and the Soviets nearly made it there first. They launched earlier in the year when the Apollo 11 Neil Armstrong Buzz Aldrin mission landed. And unfortunately, they had a failure of their launch system, and the Americans beat them by a few months. And the Russians, the Soviets, have been beating the Americans since the start of the space race. They had Sputnik in 57, the first human in space, Yuri Gagarin, in the early 60s. They'd gone around the moon. They had a first spacewalk, and a whole load of firsts. They were really leaving the Americans behind. But so when Kennedy announced they were going to put a man on the moon, they threw a huge amount of money. I think it was about 5% of the federal budget, over $100 billion a year in today's money. You know, and whereas NASA's budget even today is about a quarter of that, and probably less actually. And it plods on with important missions with that budget. But there was a huge financial expenditure and push to beat the Soviets. Probably a good thing, because the other side of the Cold War was nuclear arms proliferation. I think everyone will agree going to the moon is a better way of proving which society is better, perhaps, than building giant nuclear bombs that could kill us all. So we got to the moon in the 60s, sort of on in the natural course of things, we wouldn't really have gotten there that soon, and then there's a big 50-year gap before we do it again. But this time they're going to space to stay, and to go on to Mars as well.
The other thing I was going to ask was, you were mentioning that back in 69 they put so much money into it. Will they have to do that, you know? They're not really going to put as much money into it now, percentage-wise, as you might say, but will they bring in private industry?
Oh, yes, in a big way, and this is NASA's stated aim for more than a decade that I can remember, that the whole idea now is to get industry involved. Only governments could really have afforded this in the past. And there's a huge kickback. You know, a lot of people think, why are we wasting all this money on space when we've got all these other problems in the world? And the answer is, we're not wasting any money. NASA will tell you how many dollars they get back for every one tax dollar that's invested in their budget, because, you know, the contractors, corporations, people that build these things for NASA, I think there's about 400,000 people, most of them very technical people, involved in the moonshots in the 60s and 70s. And it pumps money back into your economy. It gives you companies in your economy that have huge technical capabilities. And one of the big things we all got out of the moonshots is microelectronics. So you look at your smartphone, laptop now, and there are billions of transistors squashed into these tiny little devices. And that all started off by big companies needing to build smaller computers because the weight of everything going into space was extremely critical. It's estimated to cost about $10,000 for every kilogram that you throw up into space. So you don't want a big bulky computer. And back in the 60s, they were huge, the size of rooms. They didn't fit on your wrist like they do today. And so developing that microelectronics industry and lots of other spin-offs as well is very important to your economy. So if you want your economy to grow and you're a Western advanced nation, you know, you have a space program. I'm glad to say Ireland is a member of the European Space Agency. Years ago, we doubled our financial commitment to it, and that should increase in the future. The space business now is roughly a $1 trillion industry, so that's much bigger than the entire GDP of Ireland. And, world's GDP is around the 100 trillion mark, so it's about 1% of everything that people do. And if you think about it, whether this mission ultimately gets us to Mars or not, and we can go back to the Chinese in a second, they want to go as well, I think everybody believes the future of the human race is in space. Whether we do it in the next few years, the next few decades, the next few centuries, and I doubt very, very much of the next few millennia, the human race, barring a major catastrophe, is going to space. And these are the stepping stones along the way that in hundreds of years' time, people will read, kids will read about in their history books in school.
David, you know what? You jumped ahead of me there, because that's the next question I was going to ask you. Will we see, we'll call them nation states, starting to come together, or not nation states, but superpowers start to come together, the likes of the US and the Chinese and Europe coming together and having their own one big NASA to explore space?
Well, you know, it's perhaps a sad indictment on the human race that isn't the way that it's going. I mean, it is in a small part in that, for instance, of the four crew members announced on Monday going on Artemis 2, one is from the Canadian Space Agency, and the exploration of the moon, the whole program, the European Space Agency is going to be heavily involved, and that's of the order of 20 countries or so around Europe. So it is a sort of international mission led by the Americans, I suppose you could say. But the problems between China and the West have meant that they're more or less excluded from getting involved in what's going on. The good news was that the International Space Station had the Russians involved, but they intend pulling out shortly, the International Space Station, with all the shenanigans that are going on there politically. So that's a bit of a step backwards. And I can almost certainly say that all the engineers and scientists involved in all of these missions would love to work together for the benefit of the human race and get humans to space, no matter what ideology or political background they have. But that's just not the way the world is working today. That said, sometimes it's good to have a bit of competition. As we said earlier, in the 60s, it forced the race to get to the moon, and we got to the moon and developed vast technologies as a result with a bit of competition. So the Chinese, to get back to your earlier question, do have plans to go to the moon and Mars. They have that rover on the moon. They've got their own space station. They plod along, getting on with it in the background a lot. They've got their own ideas. They're not looking for the kind of publicity. But you have to remember, NASA is funded by public money. So one thing NASA is very good at is PR. So they're extremely good at making sure that not just the American public, their taxpayers, know what they're spending their money on, but that the rest of the world knows as well. And I remember the early days before we had the internet, you know, us here in Ireland writing for Astronomy Ireland magazine could ring up the NASA public affairs office in the USA and they would send you anything you wanted. And you know, their PR was exemplary in terms of getting publicity for what they do. And we all associate the Americans with the space program now, even though, you know, there are thousands of jobs supported in Ireland by the space business, and that's going to grow. So our own, we look to NASA for our own PR, and Astronomy Ireland tries to do its best to highlight anything that has an Irish involvement in it in Astronomy Ireland magazine every month. But you know, it sort of happens in the background. A lot of it's commercial stuff, and I won't say boring engineering stuff, but the kind of engineering stuff that's not as exciting as sending astronauts to the moon. But we do our fair share. And I can see that area growing a lot in Ireland because it is definitely a growth industry.
Indeed. Am I correct in saying it was filters for the latest space telescope that we developed? There are some sort of breakthroughs on new filters that have helped show deep, deep into space?
Oh, yes, yeah. I mean, the James Webb Space Telescope has been a phenomenal success, and we've highlighted the Irish involvement for many years. I mean, the first pictures came out July last year, and there was, as you say, Irish involvement. There was people at Dublin Institute for Advanced Studies, Professor Tom Ray and his colleagues, who developed part of the filter system for the infrared camera on board, the one that sends back all the fancy pictures. So there's definitely Irish involvement there. And not just token Irish involvement, but cutting-edge world research-grade Irish involvement. So they didn't get involved because they said, well, we have to give Ireland a bit of the pie. They got involved on their merit. that makes it even more important. And we highlight Irish involvement all the time. The International Space Station, there are systems up there developed by Irish companies. A lot of the work that goes on by the thousands of people working in the space industry in Ireland today is background stuff that's, you know, not very sexy, shall we say, but very important. But then there are some really important things going on as well, like those filters on the James Webb Space Telescope. But also there's one company in Bio who've created a special kind of paint, in a way. It covers spacecraft and is used in really demanding places in space. It's not like sort of a paint that you smear onto surfaces like we all do when we're painting and decorating. This paint actually bonds with the material underneath, so you would never get it off. It works down at molecular level. And that not only is high-tech, cutting-edge work, but people around the world come to Ireland for that technology. So, you know, we can hold our hands up and say, we're involved in the space business. Good at it.
Talking about good at it, on the 22nd of April, you're holding a Venus Moon Watch.
Yes, we had a very successful one in March. Fortunately, the skies cleared and we got to see the moon near the planet Venus. And Venus is in the evening sky for the next few months. We won't lose it till the end of June. And so every month, the moon will come around. It laps the Earth every month. There are 12 full moons a year. That's where we get the 12 months of the year. And on April 22nd, and in fact 23rd, the moon will pass close to Venus again. So everyone's going to see this with the naked eye. There'll be the moon there, and there'll be this blazing star, 100 times brighter than the brightest star in the sky, sitting next to the moon. That's the planet Venus. And if you want to get a close-up look at both the moon and Venus in telescopes, then go along to our website, astronomy.ie, and book your place for the moon watch on Saturday, April 22nd. A few Saturdays away now. Bring the whole family. There'll be free tea and coffee and sweets for the kids and copies of Astronomy Arms magazine on sale as well. If you've got a telescope, you don't know how to use it, bring it along and we'll help you as well. And if you haven't got a telescope, just come along on your own and we have the giant telescopes that are thousands of times more powerful than your eye that will show you the moon in extreme close-up. And Venus, which the naked eye just likes like a bright star. I mean, you'll see it tonight and the next few nights blazing over in the west as soon as it gets dark until midnight. But with the telescope, you see it's actually a little disc and it's coming closer to the Earth. So although we had a Venus watch in March, the one in April will actually be better because Venus will be closer and bigger in the telescopes. And I think it's a fascinating sight to see. Most people don't have telescopes this powerful. So try and get along April 22nd.
I think these type of things are absolutely brilliant to bring children along to because it just opens up their minds to the astounding beauty of space. But leaving that aside, it is just breathtaking what's going on in front of our eyes, but we don't realise it.
Yeah, I can hear the excitement in your own voice, and that's what we love about astronomy. It's a science, it's a technical subject, but anyone can get involved. Anyone can stand out and look up at the majestic beauty of a dark night sky, especially get away from the towns and cities. But if you're in the middle of O'Connell Street on April 22nd, with all the lights blazing down on you, you would see the moon and Venus with the naked eye, no problem at all. And exciting younger generations is something that's very important to Astronomy Ireland. We're running over 30 years now, and we're the world's most popular astronomy society. And we realize one of the most important things we can do to give back to society is to inspire young people. We talk in schools all the time. There's a kids section of the magazine comes out every month. And we're seeking funding to do more for young people because they're the future of this particular subject. And I started off that way myself as 11-year-old when I began my interest in space. And a lot of people that have an interest in astronomy who don't end up as astronomers, you know, working in universities and research teams, end up in the technical subjects, you know. And this is what industries in Ireland are looking for. The farm industry, the IT industry, computer industry, all these technical industries that have powered the Irish economy are screaming out for young people to get involved in sciences, to get training in that area, and to do technical work. It won't be astronomy, perhaps, but it'll be a science-based or something that skills you accidentally learn while being interested in space will give you a fantastic career in the future. So it's a great way of inspiring young people, contributing to the Irish economy, and making sure that the future is safe.
Anything that helps to open young people's minds to learning, I have to say I'm fully behind. David, it's been a pleasure as ever chatting to you. A mind of information on all things space. Would you...
One thing we didn't talk about was the lecture that's happening on Monday night, Easter Monday.
Easter Monday.
Even though it's Easter Monday, there's a public lecture online, anyone in the country can watch. It's about the end of the universe. So we've got some pretty good ideas what's going to happen in the very distant future. So it should be a fun talk about what might happen based on our current understanding of how the universe works. So again, astronomy.ie, you'll find the details of the talk. And if you want to join Astronomy On, we would love to have you, young or old, no knowledge at all, or know a bit about astronomy. Just join at astronomy.ie. It costs around €1 a week to support the club, get the magazine and all that.
Excellent. And, you know, you might even see the restaurant at the end of the universe from The Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy.
I wonder if our speaker will include that. It'd be a fun way to end.
Indeed. David, thank you so much for chatting to us. All the best.
My pleasure.
Take care. Salat. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
There we go. David Moore from Astronomy Ireland.
90.3.
Near FM.